is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Poll List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? I am always, you know, you talk about self-conscious. Nobody's going to hear that because you cut that part out. But you talk about self-conscious, about intros. And every time I listen to myself say, hey, buddy, I'm like, God.
If you don't say it like that, I will go back to an old episode, cut it out, and then replace it. So it's always going to sound like that.
It's like, hey, buddy, I'm going to the white person store. do you need me to grab you some cargo shorts?
Well, you do that so that people that have never seen us can tell that one of the hosts of the show is racially ambiguous, mixed with a few things, and then one of them is definitely white.
Yeah, I blend in with the background. It's, yeah, I guess so. Though I did listen to an episode that was a little older, and I guess I was sick, and I almost couldn't tell the difference in our voices. It was very close.
I like that. Or maybe it was an episode that you were so sick that I was doing both voices. And
yeah, that's probably it. I wasn't actually even there. I don't remember saying any of that.
If you've been listening to the show, you know that I said we were bringing back trending topics, taking the show back to its original glory. But since then, there has been a strike in Hollywood that has escalated. Rightfully so. And the Wednesday Poll List is going to do its part, man. We're going to not talk about struck work. SDCC was this past week, which I've got hit with so much FOMO because this was the first year in a long time that it was focused on comic books, figures, and actual nerd stuff rather than, you know, who's going to be in the next movie or the big 55-year MCU slate. So this was the year that I wanted to go. This is the year that it would have been for me. But we didn't go. So instead of trending topic this week, we're going to talk about what happened at San Diego Comic-Con. Simon had a live stream on his Instagram the other day, and one of the questions he asked was, what's going on in San Diego? Because the way that his algorithm is set, he only sees toy news. So I figured this would be the perfect time for me to inform him of everything that happened at San Diego Comic-Con 2023. So I put a list together, the bullet points that caught my eye, and I think I covered just about everything. There's no set order. I'm not doing it as when they were announced. Don't even know what day. Don't care. Just the whatever came to me is what I put on this list. So we're going to run through it, and I'm going to see what Simon thinks about it, and that's it.
I'm going to do thumbs up and thumbs down so the readers, so the listeners don't really know.
San Diego Comic-Con 2023. Let's get started with probably the thing that I geeked out about the most. Invincible Season 2.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I don't really remember the comics as much that I need to go back and reread them again.
So good. And hold up pretty well. There's a lot of things that when I did a reread recently, I was like, I don't know how that's going to play out in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care either way because I have consumed the book so many times that I'm kind of a snob about it. But just kind of... some touchy subjects later on in that book. So we'll see how they do it. A book that was announced by DC, which I don't know who asked for it. I'm not mad at it. I think it's pretty fun. I'm sure we'll review it on the show. Justice League versus Godzilla versus King Kong.
Sounds fun, man.
It does sound fun. The series will span 7 issues and bring together iconic characters from both universes in an epic showdown. The first issue is set to release in October.
I wonder what Batman's going to do with all his prep time.
Probably build a giant robot.
Probably.
But why do you need to do that? My problem with DC is that you have Superman. What else do you really need?
He can just punch a hole right through both of them.
He can lift them up and fly them to the sun. He could. That's the whole 7 issues. Just one long space travel where he has to fly up to the sun, come back down, fly right back up to the sun. That's it. Pay us money, DC. We got this. Something I thought was interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I'm excited about it because I have all of these. But Nickelodeon has acquired the rights to the 1987 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle series, and they're going to start re-airing it on Nickelodeon. It's cool. I think it's cool that Nickelodeon got the rights to re-air those, and maybe the younger audience will fall in love with that old show. Some of it's hard to watch. I have watched. I have watched it. A lot of it holds up. Some of it doesn't.
Yeah, I've been watching the. I really got into doing cardio because I'll watch the 2013 version. So I've been watching that on Paramount.
I told you, man, it's good.
It's really good. There was one episode with the Rat King, and it was probably the second time he had appeared. And I was like, this is straight up nightmare fuel. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that show is good, man. And listen, I am a Ninja Turtle elitist. I get it. But the people that say the 1987 show is better than the 2013 show haven't seen the 2013 show. That show incorporates every medium that they've had so far into that one show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good balance of all of it.
Yeah. We got a Spider-Man 2 trailer. Did you watch that?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it. I saw a recorded version of it. So somebody was in the room. Sorry. Nice. Recording themselves. That's all I've seen.
Pretty good. I won't go into too much of it, but it leads you to believe that Harry Osborn, I guess I'll go into everything about it. Harry Osborn is going to be Venom. That's what everybody's saying, right?
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
I don't think it's going to be, man. I'm calling it right now. I think it's just going to be Pete. I think Pete's just going to be Venom.
And
I think he's going to die at the end of the game.
But then they'll just have Miles Morales. I'm just playing off of people at all. That would be cool. I don't know if Harry, I mean, obviously he has the symbiote at the beginning because that was the teaser at the end of the last game. So I don't know. I'm excited about it one way or the other.
Oh, it looks so good, man.
Just like the first game, I love that they just kind of take it in a different direction, do whatever they want to. It's gonna be
good. Everything except the Hammerhead in the first game, I think it was perfect. I thought Hammerhead was dumb.
It was a little silly. Having a full robot body doesn't make any sense.
I just didn't. I was like, it could have been fine without the robot body. Like, I don't understand why you just couldn't have fought Hammerhead.
Yeah. Well, the reason it's really silly, but the reason I think it's really stupid is he's a dude. He probably likes to have sex every once in a while, and now he just can't.
He still had a robot penis.
You think so?
He just pressed the button and it just kind of like flops out. Hey, man, it's not all about him. It's about his ladies. He's a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Sony also announced a brand new Spider-Man themed PS5 and DualSense controller. And since my PlayStation 5 can't stay alive for 15 minutes, maybe I'll trade it in to get this.
Yeah. That's so crazy to me.
They also announced that you can just buy the casing and the controller separately.
I mean, I don't know. I've never really gotten themed consoles. I did think about getting the Zelda one, the new Zelda console. It was pretty hot for a while, but there's just one sitting in my Target.
Andy Samberg and Fallout Boys Joe Troman are working together on a new Image series called The Holy Roller. It's Kingpin meets Inglourious Basterds meets Batman. It looks ridiculous. And if you know me, you know I love ridiculous.
Ridiculousness is his favorite show.
I hate that show. And that's like the only thing that's ever, whenever you stay at a hotel and you put something on, you want to put something on TV, it's the only thing that's on TV.
Put it on MTV too, man.
Mortal Kombat news. Homelander, Peacemaker, Quan Chi, Lee May, and more are coming to Mortal Kombat 1. Every time I say I'm quitting Mortal Kombat, they pull me back in.
Yeah, I was I was going to comment when you posted that, like, can't wait to play this once. I don't know if I'll get this one, but it does look neat.
I just hope they put the mask in it.
Speaking of the mask, just as San Diego Comic-Con news, Mezco revealed that they are making a Big Head figure to come out. I don't know when, but that would look pretty cool. I'm excited to see what kind of accessories, and I like that it's more comic-based, so it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. If there was ever going to be a Mezco that I was going to buy, that's up there.
Yeah. It looks nice. Of course, they may announce it for pre-order in the next few months, and then it won't come out for a year. That's my only thing with them, man. They just take too damn long.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Speaking of taking too damn long, we've been waiting on Invincible Season 2 for a while now. We have been. I get it. It takes time to make greatness. We finally got a new trailer and a release date, November 3rd, which is like, so close, but so far, right?
Yeah.
To appease the fans, they dropped an hour-long special same day of Eve's origin. And I don't know if you watched it, but it was damn good, man.
Was it? I'll have to watch it. I didn't have time.
It was damn good. You know, a lot of people have complaints with the first season because they sort of mixed up the order of things, sped up some storylines, and switched up some things, which I really appreciated about that season, because having read that story so many times, it's kind of boring to be like, oh yeah, now I just get to visualize exactly what I've read, you know?
Yeah.
So I love it when they kind of switch it up a little bit with staying relatively true to the story. This one, it seems like they just cleaned up the story of her origins and translated it. I know I had complaints about the animation style a few times in the first season. They absolutely knocked this one out of the park, man. It's good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I definitely want to watch it.
So they released that. Skybound just released a whole bunch of stuff. They announced an Invincible game, which the internet went nuts for. But then they got disappointed because it's a mobile game, which I'm still going to play because give me all the Invincible content I can take. Then they announced another Invincible game. The internet was nuts for it. And then they realized that it's like a visual graphic novel, Adam Eve Steam game. So play those games. If everybody downloads those games and plays the crap out of them, then they'll make a AAA game eventually. You got to understand, maybe. A AAA Invincible game is going to be significantly harder to make than something like on mobile or, you know, like Midnight Suns.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, there's something
I think
else.
A version of Midnight, I don't know if you played Midnight Suns.
No,
but
I don't like
something like, there was, I don't either, but that was pretty fun.
No, just keep talking.
I think you would like it. That was pretty cool. So lots of Invincible stuff. They also had their Energon universe panel where they talked about everything going from Void Rivals leading into Transformers leading into G.I. Joe and how it's all connected. And it's very excited for all that. I'm sure we will review the first volumes of all of those. Ninja Turtles panel. We are getting an official Last Ronin sequel. Last Ronin 2, Secret of the Ooze. It's not called that, but it's something as corny. It's like Re-Evolution or something really.
Revolution.
Yeah, they shouldn't have gotten Eastman's input on that one. I'm excited about it. I have been following these four new turtles since Last Ronin in the Lost Years, and I've been wondering where they're going to take them. Cool jumping on point, maybe, if they do it right. You know, it's one of those things, like, it could be a throwaway thing, or they could really nurture it and make it something cool.
Yeah, one thing I like about the turtles is that they... I've always been intrigued by different turtles being the like Ninja Turtles being different turtles, right?
Yeah.
So I think they did it with Rise of the Ninja Turtles pretty well. They look different enough. I think it's a cool premise. So I like that they're doing that with the new ones.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. All right, folks, that was a roundabout recap of San Diego Comic-Con. I'm sure we missed some stuff. I'm sure we droned on about a few things. Let us know what we missed and your thoughts on any of this news. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the trade review.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and hopefully I mentioned on this week's episode of the show, we are reviewing a book called Planetary Batman Night on Earth, issue number one. It is a spinoff book of a series called Planetary, sort of a one-shot, and I had this idea, I'm going to run it by Simon on air. Anytime we have a guest on with us, we should just do a one-shot. Instead of having them read like a full book, and so us three can just talk about that and spend more time digging
around.
Sounds
perfect.
So this will be the first, we don't have a guest besides my crippling anxiety, but this will be the first Wednesday Pull List one-shot episode featuring, as you guessed, because I already said it, Planetary Batman Night on Earth.
You're the guest, listener.
Yeah, talk to us. We'll listen. We'll answer back.
Yeah.
I wanted to specifically read this one because recently Simon had interviewed D'Amazing, one of our friends on the internet, and they reviewed Planetary. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of what you guys read leading into they can just listen to the whole dang episode themselves?
Yeah. So for anyone that didn't listen to that episode, Planetary is a book about, it's basically about this secret team that's out discovering the secret origins of the Earth and society and history. And there, it's very vague. They're super beings of some sort, and they go out and they find these. We read 1 through 5, and in those issues, there's a lot of homages to things like Godzilla, things like Ghost Cops, you know, kind of Shazam-y, I don't know, alien creatures. I mean, there's just a lot there, like Doc Savage, I think. Like, there's just all these archetypes in there and all these interesting, really interesting stories. So in each issue, they kind of have their own thing going on. They're going around looking for these, I don't know, like I said, secret history. It reminds me a lot of Department of Truth, if you've read that book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very similar without the Tulpa aspect. Like, these are the real origins of the Earth. There's a big multiversal element. And the last issue we read was kind of a cliffhanger talking about, like, if the Fantastic Four were terrible people, you know, if they were actually terrible people. So that's kind of the idea between around Planetary. It's a great book.
Planetary is on my list of rereads in the near future. I've followed along with it when it was coming out, and it's been a long time. I referenced this book that we're reading today a lot because it has a lot of Batman is a ridiculous character, and I know I give him a lot of flack, but I am a huge fan of Batman mainly because of the ridiculous. And so when people try to talk about, you know, how cool Batman is because he does all these things, I just like to reference this book because it specifically highlights some of the ridiculous.
Yeah. And this is a Warren Ellis book.
Yeah.
By the way,
where do you think this fits in? I know the issues that you guys read were kind of standalones. They were tied together, but they were all their own things. I don't know where this falls in Planetary.
I don't know. I only got through the 5, so mm-hmm. I do plan on continue reading it, but I do plan to continue reading, excuse me. But I honestly, it feels just like the rest of them. Like, I feel like it's a great, like, just fit in with the rest of the stories because the interconnectivity is learning about Planetary, not necessarily learning about the larger world that all these events that they go to fit together. So I feel like in that aspect, you know, they're visiting a different Planetary because Planetary is the name of the organization. They're visiting another Planetary campus in Gotham City.
Did you feel like you were just completely lost, or did the characters feel the same as the first 5 issues that you read?
They feel the same because in those 5 issues, you don't learn shit about them there either. Yeah. The only thing that you learn is that Elijah's one of the main characters, is mm-hmm. stronger than you would assume. And it's got some pretty interesting powers, but you don't really know the length of those in those issues. So,
yeah, or in this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it fits in perfectly.
So this book, Planetary, Batman, Night on Earth, issue #1, The Archaeologist of the Unknown Discover the Dark Knight Detective. Planetary's Jaquita Wagner, Elijah Snow, and the drummer track an immoral killer with a personal distortion field to Gotham City, where they encounter Batman. Only Batman doesn't exist on the same Earth as Planetary. The distortion field has malfunctioned, pulling the heroes through the bleed to unexpected versions of Gotham City and Batman. So I think that's an interesting take on it. Like, Batman isn't real. in a sense. But now they're having to interact because of this distortion field. And if this villain is the main character in the main Planetary books, I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read it.
Yeah, he seems like just a vehicle, really. Yeah. Right off the bat, I think it's interesting because I was like, how does this fit? Because they meet two characters at Planetary HQ in Gotham.
Yeah.
One of them's named Dick Grayson and the other one's named Jasper, which I don't know why they, I guess Joker, Jasper. But anyway, Dick Grayson is not at all like the regular Dick Grayson that we know and love. Yeah, he's real dorky. But Jasper, he's like super pale. He's got green hair. He's wearing purple. They say he kind of laughs when he's seeing some of these murder images, like murder evidence photos.
Yeah, he's weird. He's clearly the Joker.
I thought it's an obvious touch, but I thought it was a pretty good touch that they're both working for this organization. They're just people.
Yeah, I think it's cool too. Like they're in Gotham City, and this is what I assume would be the normal version of Gotham City. Mm-hmm. Like if there was a Gotham City in the real world, this would be it. And it's terrible all over. Yeah. The thing about Elijah is he has this infinite knowledge about everything. He's like, oh yeah, this is Gotham City. It sucks. It sucks everywhere.
Well, what's interesting about Elijah is he's just really, really old. Like he's lived for a long time. So that's kind of, he's like, yeah, I was here once, you know, you could pick up a hooker down the street and like,
yeah, he talks about the old days of Gotham or whatever.
I do find it interesting that they talk at one point about a convergence, because they're talking about all kinds of weird stuff, but they talk about a convergence where these universes collided. And I did wonder if that had implications to the wider universe, if that was some kind of reference to, you know, one of the sagas that they have with universes in DC.
Yeah, I should have done better research. That's a good question. I will have an answer for that.
He says 1986. I've seen that before, 1986. I don't know if there was one of those events in 1986, but that I found that very interesting. But
yeah, and they're freaking crazy, morphed these bodies together. That's ugh.
Yeah. Again, y'all don't know this as listeners, but we just read a Quietly book that was very gruesome. So it's like all gruesome. There's some interesting aspects to the Planetary team, because Jaquita's like the super lady. She doesn't have an archetype, but she's super strong, super fast, but she's kind of a bitch.
She can fight, yeah.
Yeah, she can fight, but she's just like, doesn't have the time for people.
What about the drummer?
Drum has some, he's like sensitive to electromagnetic fields, and I guess he uses his drums to kind of key into that. And then Elijah, he has some sort of ice powers, but he's also just old. Like he just knows things, like you said. He's a good investigator.
He has like crazy ice powers too. Like could freeze your brain and stuff like that.
He has the coolest, yeah. He can, I don't know how to describe it. It's like he made throwing stars in midair and had them going at something. He froze this guy's foot in a puddle just by like looking at it. Yeah. And then, he can freeze water in people's veins. It's pretty interesting.
This is where we get the introduction of our man.
And speaking of, man, one scene in Arrow, to go back to it, we see our antagonist, and he's not trying to kill people. He just is, right?
Yeah.
But there's like a half person in the alleyway.
Like, because she got caught in that field, only half of her body got disintegrated.
Yeah. So crazy. And I kept looking at it. I was like, that's a person, right? That's not like a prop.
Nope.
Nobody seems to react to it.
It's definitely a person. What do you think about this version of Batman?
This is a goofy, pretty goofy version.
It's kind of got a Michael Keaton mouth.
Yeah, a little bit. I was curious who he referenced. I kind of Hush, really.
Yeah,
I don't think Hush is out. Stupid shoulder pads. But seeing him get rocked by that lady, she's super strong, punches him right in the chest. He probably shouldn't have got up.
Good thing he has that bat, Kevlar. And here we are with my first example of bat ridiculousness. And if you follow us on Twitter, you've probably seen me post this before. She, as we mentioned, is super strong. She takes off these pipes and sort of molds them into batons. Cool. Very cool. Why not? In response to that, Batman could just fight. Batman could just fight her. Like, he fights villains with weapons all the time. He doesn't have to match the weapon. Like, she has two batons. I need two things. But he does in this universe. And in this universe, he pulls out these two half wings from his, I don't know. They have to be there the whole time because they're giant.
Yeah, he had them tucked in his underpants.
And then he unfolds them, and they're these giant bat wing swords.
Yeah, well, not even really swords.
They're giant bat wing batons.
I guess he should have just had batons. That bothered me more than anything, because I'm thinking I have a problem with this in general, with trying to make things overly realistic, which is why I fail as a comic writer, because I'm like, oh, physically, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what are the logistics of these things? They taper, so it'd be hard to hold on to. They flip, like they fold open, so you'd have to have some kind of locking mechanism to make them where they're not weak. But yeah, they're just really silly.
They're huge. All of that stuff you said, yes. But my main thing is he just has those in his back the entire time. Batman's known for doing backflips and being agile. He just has these giant batarangs in his back.
They fold out to be bigger than they should be based on the illustration, but they're like more than half of his body length.
If you look at they made an action figure of this Batman. You got to look it up sometime. And he does have these giant bat, batons.
Look it up right now.
And if I'm not mistaken, they just are in his back. They just fold up into his back. Now it would be different if this was a robot Batman and that he actually pulled them out of his back. Then I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Let me know if you can't find it.
I can't find it, but they did. I'm surprised they made DC Direct figures of all the Planetary guys.
Yeah, Planetary is pretty popular. Sorry, guys. You guys won't hear this. I'll edit it out.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, please.
Sorry, guys.
You know, I feel like I've seen these action figures somewhere now. They're not worth shit.
Oh, it's like a super rare toy. There's so many Batman action figures, that's why.
Yeah, it's just impossible.
I don't even know if Planetary Batman doesn't work.
Yeah, that's what I looked at. Oh, well, I'll find it later. Anyway, Flap, put a good break. Now you know where to cut.
1 second. Yeah, so it would make more sense if he was a robot and like they were part of his actual body. I don't know why I said that like a robot, but he just pulls them out of his ass.
Yeah, he really does. At least they were folded in half.
Yeah, right. And like I said, they get into a straight up sword fight, weapon for weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's silly. Very silly. It's a cool fight, I guess. But really, he should have no, like, there's no way that he should be able to fight her. Because she has super strength.
She has super strength. He should be rocking her ass. Or she should be rocking his ass, man.
Yeah. Maybe she's holding back.
But does she have, like, the, I want to fight a worthy opponent? Because they kind of hint at it.
Yeah, she does. That is kind of a thing. She gets bored. Because no one can ever beat her.
Well, she hadn't met Bruce Wayne yet.
Yeah, her only other match so far has been the Human Torch equivalent that just kicks the shit out of her. So, of course, Bruce Wayne would be able to beat her.
Yeah, with all of his money.
Yeah, we get to see Elijah use his kind of twinkly powers. That it's like a ice kinesis or something. But as this guy is running through a puddle, the guy they're pursuing, he just freezes it by looking at it, which to me is pretty dope.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
But it does, the stress of it does cause him to cause another rift, which is the greatest rift.
Yeah. So they're going for, like, Jaquita and Bruce are having their final standoff. Who's going to win? They're going for their final blows. And then the rift happens, and we get this is, and I, this, when I post my ridiculous bat takes, this is one of my favorites because it's Adam West Batman, and it's perfectly written as 66 Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a fully deputized peace officer of Gotham. Gotham is super bright, unlike any other Gotham that we see. He even says, I can't hit a girl. And it's just, she's not into it, but it's so perfect. So perfect, Adam West.
Yeah. And he's got bat female villain repellent.
So perfect. And he even says, bat apologies, sprays her, and then runs off in like a goofy way. It's so great.
It's really cool. It's weird because it doesn't last at all. For very long at all. One thing that doesn't make a lot of sense, other than just being fun, is the fact that every time they go to a new rift, the Batman is there. You know, mm-hmm. Does that mean that every universe, if you and I exist in another universe, that other person is sitting in the same spot? I don't think so.
Or maybe just the rift is affecting, no, because it killed that one lady. I don't know. Yeah. You're right. It's kind of random.
So it's really affecting Drummer because it's just throwing him off.
Yeah.
Like scrambling his brains up. But they get shoved into a new one, and it's my favorite. Old fat boy Batman.
Thick. Thick. Bad thickness.
He's got the big tank.
That's so ridiculous.
That's my favorite one because it's so stupid. It looks like the bat head on it.
Yeah.
And this is one of those moments. Like, you know... Elijah seems intimidated at first, especially the art.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't have the time, man. He makes a self-referential joke, Mr. Freeze, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's pretty great, though.
How the dinosaurs die. But we get to see this cool power again where he's just like, yeah, man, I just gave him a brain freeze.
Yeah, puts him on his ass, man.
Ass man.
But it's Batman. Little brain freeze ain't gonna hurt him. He's back, baby. Batarang to the arm. I love those little batarangs that he has.
Yeah, those are some of my favorites. He just throws some explosives out before racking Drummer right in the face, man. Dude takes him square in the middle of his face, dead on.
Yeah, mega punch right into the rift. And then we get one of the most iconic Batman images. It's Neil Adams Batman running. Yeah. We never really see Neil Adams Batman do anything. I guess he arrests him in this one, but this is more along the lines of like superhero Batman when he's starting to be part of the Justice League, super friends.
Yeah, it looks good though. He did a good job on this.
Yeah, that's always a good Batman too. Probably one of my favorite Batman. The one that's not so doom and gloom. He's still kind of more positive.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a hot take because everybody likes their broody Batman, but
I get tired of broody Batman.
Yeah, same. So the next page, how do you feel? Because we get the broodian.
The broodiest. I thought it was a cool touch. I thought he was about to shoot the shit out of this dude.
I'll always love purple gloves on Batman. I think it's perfect. I think you should always have them.
It's strange. It's very strange.
His belt sucks. I've always thought his ears were weird. This, for people just listening, it's the original Batman suit where he has the giant, they're not so giant in this, but he has the bigger ears on the cowl and the purple gloves, and he uses a gun. Trademark Batman.
Yeah. And you're right. It doesn't last very long. And he starts to kind of take pity because he finds out that this kid's parents died.
Yeah.
Just like it. So obviously he's going to be the new Robin.
Yeah. Sad. It's what always Crime Alley.
Yeah. I like at one point Elijah to say, it's like, or he, somebody says something about Crime Alley. He's like, ugh, of course. Who the hell named this place? What did you think about the final Batman? I don't even know what that's referencing, but it is futuristic.
It's supposed to be futuristic, supposed to be real life. I imagine that, but I thought it was supposed to be real life, but you have the Jets and Gotham behind him.
Yeah. There's no eye makeup. No eye makeup, Batman.
Yeah, I don't know. He has like the theater lady gloves on that go up to his elbows. It's over designed.
They're eating gloves.
It's over designed. Yeah, but he's the good guy though.
It's kind of a mix of a lot of them because he still has that perfect the first appearance cowl, and his cape is kind of first appearance-y.
It's like the first Batman. Or not the first, but like the complete Batman, because he's like, listen, I believe you. I'm not going to beat the shit out of you first.
Yeah, they've got good people at Arkham. Okay.
Yeah.
Can't be that good. What I did find funny is that Chiquita is like continuing a conversation with them basically
throughout the years, yeah, or throughout the multiverse.
Yeah, she kind of says like, you know, I was beating you. He's like, yeah, if that's what you believe. It's like, how do you know what the fuck she's talking about?
He's just that confident in himself, man.
Yeah.
And his ears in this, I'm very particular about my bat ears. They look like horns.
I don't like when they curve in like that.
No, I like the short bat ears. They're my favorite. Or the super long Terry McGinnis.
From the back.
Yeah. I liked it, man. How do you feel about Planetary? It's just it was a short issue, very quick, one shot spinoff.
Yeah. It's really cool. You know, it's a fun way to bring them into the story rather than just have Batman exist. You know, because the fun thing about these characters that they don't really fit into archetypes, and the comic is weird. Planetary is very weird.
Yeah.
So I dig it. I thought it was a good continuation.
Yeah, you know, you gotta have Batman in there.
Yeah, at least one.
We can't make it, or all of them in this case.
Yeah.
We can't have a comic book coming out under a DC imprint and not put Batman in it in some capacity.
Yeah.
It's called Detective Comics for a reason.
Right. At least it wasn't shoehorned completely. I really did like how they incorporated it.
I think this is a great way to do it, man. If you want to have Batman included in the story, just make it like a spinoff.
Yeah, perfect. Just like Spawn. Like Batman Spawn.
Yeah, just like Spawn in general. You just make it a book that no one ever is going to read. Unless you're really into 90s grunge porn. That sounds like a weird genre.
Grunge porn, yeah. Just a bunch of sad people having sex.
How do you feel about this book compared to Planetary? Do you think it fits pretty well into that world?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was cool. It's, especially with this antagonist character, he fits in really well. It's like they're at the beginning of I think the second book when they see the Doc Savage equivalent in this. He's like guarding a multiversal, what they call the snowflake or something like that. And so it fits in really well with that.
I got to get back on it, man. I got to reread it. It's been a long, long time. What do you think about the art?
Yeah, it's still good. Cassaday is killing it.
Yeah. Very, very particular style. I've gotten to the point in my life where I really appreciate when someone has a distinct and unique style. Whether it's a traditional style or not, if it's noticeable, I'm into it. And this is one of those, you know, who's illustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of a mix between some people that we've seen, a little bit of Frank Quietly, a little bit of Jai Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Smooth Frank Quietly, because he has that like Dr. Katz squiggly lines that he puts on everybody. This has been the first Wednesday pull one shot. I don't think we'll grade these because they're just one shots, and that gives us a chance when we do have guests on, we don't put them on the spot, make them grade or not, you know, grade when just a casual conversation.
Yeah. Planetary is enjoyable though. You know, if you, I recommend it. And so when you get to our, when I, if you've listened to our episode, The Amazing Darius, he didn't grade, and I don't think you need to with this book. He, we talked about how much we like it. So,
yeah. And I think we'll carry that over to the, into the one shot series that we're doing. And we won't do grades on this. We'll keep it for, we'll keep that special for Simon and I only episodes, even though that is technically what this is.
It's a, it's like a private school, no grades.
Yeah. Just
for special kids.
No. I'll tell you right now, though, do us a favor and let us know some of your favorite one shots so we can build a list of books to read with our friends. Because I really don't. I mean, I could sit there and think about it, but who's going to do that? Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully you for us.
Give us a suggestion in the rating that you leave on iTunes.
Yeah. Us. Only if it's 5-star, though. That's what the ones we'll listen
to. Yeah, please, please do that. Also, we're still doing Thick Cut, so if you're interested in like our long-form review of Exiles, get on our Patreon. It's really cheap, and you get to listen to all that and a little bit of extra stuff.
Yeah, we should eat eggs while we're doing it, and then we can call it Exiles. We can make sure it's... Make sure to
raw eggs,
or eat just like hard boiled eggs while we're recording it. Yeah. If you want more antics like that, subscribe to our Patreon and you'll get that. Tons of other stuff we're working on over there. I'm really excited about that.
Lex, tell everybody where they can find us.
They can find all of our stuff, Wednesday Pool, everywhere at Wednesday Pool. Check us out, follow us. We would love to talk to you on there. Sam, the artiste that you are, where can the people see all your good work?
Yeah, if you're looking for to be overwhelmed by toy photography, you can go to my Instagram page, which is Sime_on_toast. You can go to the link in my bio, go to my portfolio page, and you can also, any in-stock item on Entertainment Earth, if you go through my the link in my bio, you get 10% off any in-stock item and free shipping over $59. So that's pretty good deal. So anyway, yeah, check that out. Entertainment Earth is more than just toys. They have a lot of a big variety of things. So
hell yeah, I need to use that myself, man.
Yeah, me too, actually. I just got it for me. But yeah, check that out.
That's great. Again, hit us up with your one-shot recommendations. If you have somebody that you enjoy listening to, also send them our way. We would love to have some more friends on the show. So with that, we'll see you guys next time.
See you later. We need friends.